Hello, good people, and welcome to what is now episode 10 of the Brunswick Beer Collective. As usual, I'm here with Jeff Chee.
G'day.
And as Paul is hiding out, we assume in a bunker somewhere.
He must be.
Yeah.
He's definitely not drinking whatever he's doing.
No, definitely not. In his place, we have not one but two guest hosts this week. The first one is, as of last week, our old friend Gareth Humphreys.
Hello.
And making his triumphant return, the great Ben Wilson.
Hello, everyone.
And so we've gone for a bit of a change this week. And that's for two reasons. Firstly, because we thought the Ale House was going to be way too busy to record in. And secondly, because we wanted a bit of a change. And the best change is one that's Danish. And the best way to do that is at the Park Hotel in Werribee, which is just outside of Melbourne.
It's just outside of, the world, really. I mean, whatever I would sort of consider to be the civilised world, it's definitely not there. But everyone in here is very civilised, actually.
I'd like to apologise to all our Werribee listeners.
It's a very good point. We actually really enjoy coming to this place.
Yeah, and well, that's right. The people here are very nice.
Yeah.
Werribee definitely has this stigma about it that, you know, West Side, scary. I mean, Ben and I caught the train out here a little bit earlier. Mm. And, you know, we were legit scared on the way out here. But we kind of got here.
But you fought on through it.
It's like, it's okay. It's okay. We haven't died yet, and we're good.
It's worth the trip out here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've come out here many times now, so there's something about it.
Those who've been listening for a while, this is also the home of the fabled macaroni and cheeseburger.
We might need to have that later.
Yeah.
Yes, I think we will.
And obviously I was salivating for the entire train ride out here. But it's true, it does feel like another part of the world, mostly because it's about a 50-minute train ride from the centre of Melbourne. Maybe we need to get out a bit more.
Maybe we do.
So, this is also the start for us of Good Beer Week.
Yeah, day two. And
if you've been following on Instagram, Jeff has posted everything possible because he's been everywhere possible.
Yes, and this must be like my 8th event now or something.
Yeah,
like that.
That's a good event.
For a festival in 2 days.
Which is scary because there's only been 4 events.
That's right. It's amazing, right? How does he do it?
Look, I never want to ask these questions. I figure I don't want to know the answer.
That's right. Yeah, best, you know, hear no evil, see no evil, tell no... Whatever, however that goes, that's the mantra that we run with.
But because for me, I've not actually... this is my first Good Beer Week event. Because my events prior to this were... because, of course, I want to get rid of empty all the tanks before Good Beer Week starts. Then my first event was to Forrester's Hall, which I know was on the ban list, but...
Get out. Get out now.
But I had heard they had cheap beer. But anyway, so I was at Forrester's on Friday night, and I had pretty much whatever was left. And it was this really weird thing where you walk in there and you see all, like, there's like 30 taps or something. And, you know, it's the sort of stuff dreams are made of until you wander over and it's sold out.
Definitely on the ban list.
Exactly. And it was just, but, you know, you look down the beer list and you're like, ooh, that looks really good. That's a great saison. Can I have that? No, sorry, we just ran out. What about this one? No, it's out as well. I got the last pot of Young Henry's there, and I was just, I love the Young Henry's Pale Ale, and I just was ecstatic when they had one more, and then I went back for a second and was like, oh, no, we don't have that. And they even ran out of hop hold, which was terrifying.
Yeah, but that would have been absurdly frustrating for me. Like, that. I'm glad that I was not there, because...
I was about to say that. Luckily, you weren't there, Jeff. Otherwise, it would have been drama for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would have been chaos with a capital J.
Correct. A silent capital J.
A bit of tea rage.
But then after that, I went off to... really, my Good Beer Week is based solely right now on all the preparation, all the sellouts before Good Beer Week begins. because after that, I went up, and our good friend Ben here was actually on the bar at the Ale House.
Yes.
And so I got there at about midnight and turned up, and it was all pots of pints.
It was one of two happy hours for the year at the Ale House.
Pints of pots, thank you.
That way makes more sense.
And so I had the... It was a motor...
I mean, some would argue the prices are... That's for my price.
Exactly.
Hey.
Agreed. Yeah. I've always been vocal on that one. But I had the modus operandi red IPA, and it was the sort of beer that you never ever wanted to finish, which I think they ran out on the keg.
But, I got the last one of that, so I was very happy when I finished to score a pint of that.
But anyway, that...
Poor Scotty missed out, but anyway.
Poor Scotty. We love Scotty. If you're listening, Scotty, which we hope you are, we love your beard. Anyway, but that was my real good beer week so far. Jeff, what's your adventure?
Yeah, so started at, actually at the opening party, because why wouldn't you not start at the opening party? So went to Beer Deluxe on Friday. They managed to not get themselves on the banned list, because Beer Deluxe is one of these places that always is teetering on the edge of the banned list. I do like it, but as I've said before, any place where I have better knowledge of both what beers they have and where those beers are in the venue, it's not good. But luckily I found the one bartender behind the bar there who does know what he's talking about and got him to, and then it was all fine after that.
I have this great image in my head of you just sort of going up to the bar and say, like, requesting something and then watching the... It's on the left. No. Down the next staircase. On the left. On the left.
That's pretty much my entire life in Beer Deluxe. It's like, if I could, I'd just go to the fridge. I'm just going to get you what I want, and then I'll put it in front of you. You will then sell it to me, and then I will...
Why don't I get what I've got from home, and that's right. You can sell me that.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Why don't you sell me stuff I've already bought? So that was good. Then I popped up to the Owl House project just to hassle Ben, because I thought, well, you know, if a man of mine's behind the bar, I've got him a hard time.
Look, to me, it's a national sport, maybe even a pastime, to hassle Ben.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I'm hassling him right now.
But
he's not even on the bar.
We just spend our whole lives hassling Ben. That's pretty much all we do. But so then on Saturday kicked off the schedule proper. So started at the Junction Hotel in Newport, which is kind of halfway to here.
I do like the Junction.
The Junction's good.
Yes. We went there after here last time.
We did. Yeah. We did. So they had something called the Wild Wild West, which was beers from Margaret River out the west, and then American barbecue, which, as people would know, is one of my foods of choice.
Look, I would say it's probably an addiction after beer.
Probably. Yeah. It's my second vice, you know. But unfortunately, actually, the piece of advice to anyone out there who doesn't do American barbecue for their living, if you want to do American barbecue as a special at your restaurant, bar, whatever, get one of the pros in, because these guys... Like, it was okay, but it just wasn't. And because Melbourne now knows what American barbecue is meant to taste like, it just... Like, the brisket and the pulled pork was basically like roast beef and roast pork sliced up. And that's really not acceptable in the modern age.
I love the implication that American barbecue has become like the coffee in Melbourne.
Exactly. It has. It pretty much has. Like,
Melbourne knows coffee. Melbourne knows American barbecue.
Yeah, Melbourne now knows American barbecue. Melbourne has become self-aware. So from there, got the train back into the city, went to the Arbory, which is that new bar just next to Flinders Street Station. It was
everyone assumed was a pop-up for so long.
That's right, but it's totally permanent. And it's a great spot, and it was a beautiful day. So just sat there on the river, drinking Croucher beer. So Croucher did a little pop-up there.
And you met the fellow from Croucher?
I met Paul from Croucher Brewing, which is cool. And so when we're over in Wellington for Beervana later in the year, we'll totally go up to Rotorua, and we'll pop in and say, maybe we'll even record a spot for the Brunswick Beer Collective.
We'll see how we go.
That'd be kind of cool. So I had a couple of their beers. They had this one... Yeah, it was an American Pale Ale, but I think there was some kerfuffle when they moved brewing operations. Like, it had this weird accidental tartness to it, so it was almost like a cross between a sour and an American Pale Ale. And so that experiment didn't work out so well. They were very good about it. They said, look, we know that went wrong. If you want a replacement beer for that, we'll totally fix you up. So it was really good of them.
Look, I just think we need to go back a step to the term accidental tartness. It sounds like growing up rough in a country town or something.
Pretty much. Like, it was. I didn't press further on how this exactly happened, but yeah, it's like someone was drunk one morning and just dropped the wrong ingredient into the vat as it got stirred up or something like that. But anyway, so that was fine. And then what did we do that night? So then we went up to Carwin Cellars,
which I was very envious about.
So Carwin Cellars, they were welcoming Evil Twin. So we've mentioned Evil Twin quite a few times on this podcast. Welcoming Evil Twin to Australia. So they had a... What was it, Ben? You were there as well. It was like 10, 12 taps or something.
I think about 10 taps.
Yeah, 10 taps of Evil Twin. But they were all intense. Like nothing... None of the ABVs had less than 2 digits. Luckily, none of them had 3 digits because that would have been weird. But they had...
And we wouldn't be here now.
We wouldn't be here now. But they were, everything was at least 10,
look,
11,
it
12.
Would have been awkward if it was just me and Gareth recording.
Yeah, correct.
So, sorry, we just have one guest host. And, no
and he's currently looking for the beer with 100% ABV.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's not doing much good.
But we, but they had American barbecue as well. It's like, and this is one I didn't even plan this. I looked at the schedule and went,
I don't believe you.
Well, here's the thing, right? If I had known, I would have been there all day rather than just getting there in the evening. That is the bit that gives me credibility on this front, because my partner said to me, he's like, you knew. Like, you fucking knew they had barbecue there.
That is exactly what
you were such
a
liar.
Say.
And I said, so no, if I'd known they had beef rib and beef brisket, I would have been there all day. I would have been there at 10 a.m. and I would have eaten brisket and rib and then done that another 2 times at least.
Now, for those who are somehow new to this podcast, Jeff really, really does love American barbecue, and he will fight anyone to the death over American barbecue.
I pretty much had to. I didn't. Oh, not on this occasion, but I have in the past. But on this occasion...
But check out his reviews on the City Line.
Correct. Yes. Now, I am a bit of a stickler for...
American barbecue snob, I think,
correct,
is the term I
use. Correct, yeah. We've moved on from being a beer snob. That's been done. Now we're on to barbecue.
Such a hipster.
I'm even growing this ridiculous beer.
All right, so you're a Carwin. Where have you been?
This is my first Good Beer Week activity. I was at a friend's wedding yesterday. It was pleasant,
it
wasn't.
What were they thinking, organising a wedding on Good Beer Week?
Look, I had words. I almost got them to move it.
Did you fight them over it?
Yeah, I did. Unfortunately, the bride is a very good fighter. She may have won that battle. the husband was on board. He was like, yep, let's move it. Or let's get married, you know, at Beer Deluxe.
It would either be that or the Owl House.
Yeah, Owl House would be fine. Yeah.
It is a bit of a venue for weddings now. There's so many weddings at the Owl House nowadays.
Yeah. It's just fantastic.
I marry beer there every night.
But, I mean, speaking of the Owl House, so obviously you ended up there later on.
Yes.
And Ben, you ended up there later on.
Yes, I certainly did.
Which we've all heard the stories, many of which can't be repeated. Some of them involve a ghost.
The ghost.
Jesus. Of the things you can remember, what was your best from Saturday?
Well,
because you didn't get to drink anything on Friday.
No,
except
what
was left over of my amazing modus operandi red IPA.
It was amazing. Yes, exactly. So I was tempted to drink during my shift, but I held off to the end. And yeah, the modus operandi was definitely the highlight of the day. Also, the Pirate Life Imperial IPA was sensational as well.
I'm reading about Pirate Life everywhere.
Yeah, and I'm assuming they're only like very new. The last few weeks, I've seen them sort of promoted quite a lot.
Yeah, so they're South Australian, so they've only just started to really deploy themselves outside of South Australia, and it kind of started during the Best of South Australia Week, which we talked about.
Yes, and then yesterday at Carwin was personally the beer selection there was better than the Owl House. The Owl House was still sensational, but. There were some really good Imperial Stouts.
Careful of your words, sir.
I know. I did mention that Owl House is still sensational, but the Imperial Stouts, Imperial IPAs were so good at Carwin. And then when I went to the Owl House and started drinking pints of 9%+ beers is where it all went downhill. So, yeah, I must say, I felt pretty average this morning. So, starting to recover now.
And... for those listening, if you're wondering, he does look pretty average as well.
I was making up for Friday night.
So we could go on about Good Beer Week all day, and next week, when the next podcast is up, we will have far more on it because, well, most of it hasn't happened yet.
That's right.
We're very, very excited. So now, as you guys know, Paul is hiding out somewhere in a bunker. But he did file a report for us from Istanbul.
Did too.
So we're going to cross to him now.
So I'm currently in Istanbul in a pub. There's some live music, traditional music, which you can probably hear. So the start with the good news. The good news is awesome bunch of people. We're having a really great time. Bad news is I've not been able to find any craft beer in Istanbul. That's not to say that doesn't exist. There is actually I know of two craft beer pubs. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to find them. So they were quite far north from the main touristy areas. So we've been stuck, all of us here, with Efes and another beer, Beaumonte, which is also owned by Efes. So neither of them are fantastic beers, but look, they're beers and they do the trick. So at the moment I'm drinking the standard Beaumonte beer, and look, probably the lowest check-in I've given a beer on this show, I'm giving it a 2.25. It's look, it's perfectly acceptable, but you know, it is what it is. So that's me checking out from Istanbul, and tomorrow flying out to Iran. So, look, I've heard things about people who know people, so maybe you'll get a check-in from me next week, maybe not. Let's see. Back to you guys.
And welcome back. That was Paul from, look, he claims to be in Istanbul, we don't really know, but what was more important there is he gave something 2.5 stars, and I feel like that's, it, you know, it's bringing everything down. I don't know what to trust anymore with Paul.
It's kind of unprecedented, isn't it?
It was a macro, you can understand that, you know, he might have certain reservations for the whole thing, but it was just unexpected, that's all.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll have words of him if he ever comes back. So, now we're on to beer number one. And, look, these, as per usual, I'm completely ignorant. Jeff, what are we drinking?
So we're drinking the Frambois by, mm-hmm. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Apologies if I didn't.
No, that's correct. Oh, no. Let's go.
It's by a brewery called Korn Beer, who are from Denmark, so obviously the Danish invasion mm-hmm. here this mm-hmm. evening. And so, yeah, so the style is lambic, so it's sour beer is okay. what we are getting into. So it's a raspberry sour.
It's sour.
It's pretty sour. 6% alcohol, so not too punchy.
Mm-hmm.
Again, scary that we call 6%.
It's definitely not made by McKellar, then.
It's not made by McKellar.
Because anything less than about 12 seems wrong for McKellar.
That's it. So, yeah. So, this is the word. So, let's sample it.
It's super, super sour.
Really sour. I really like it.
Now, I've had raspberry beers, which are more sour.
Mm.
They tend to go either extremely to the sour or extremely to the sweet. This one kind of straddles it, which I like.
That is, actually, I agree with that. No.
I mean, there's a lot of sour in there. You've got that sweet bit as well. It's a nice combo.
Well, it's, I suppose last week we were talking about the Bloody Mary Moondog beer, which was an interesting sort of combination, and it worked. And I guess you're on a sort of similar vein here, because this is sort of like, it does strike the right balance, I suppose.
Yeah.
Even if it is sort of, you know, I'm screwing up my face.
Yeah.
I find I'm not screwing my face up too much with this one. I think, like, it's sour, but not stupidly sour.
Yeah, it's all over the top. Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminds me of drinking a traditional lemonade. You get that sour but in a refreshing kind of way.
Mm. That's a good take. I like that.
We'll drink again.
I think we'll drink again, but I've never had any beers by this brewery before, actually.
No.
I've not heard of them before.
So
yeah.
And do we know... Sorry, no one knows anything about them?
Never heard of them.
No, that's why we do our research. Good work, guys.
Yeah, good work. We came prepared.
So I guess the bigger question is, we don't know anything about it, but what are the good people on Untappd know about?
People in the world.
So Jeff likes it so much, I think he's checking it in every time he has a sip.
Yeah, I know. I hit it
oh,
twice.
Gosh.
I hit it twice or three times.
We're just looking at the Untappd feed and, yeah.
Okay, not many people are writing stuff about this, so I'm struggling to actually find
someone's, so what's the name? John G has written faves so far is booking it here at the Park Hotel.
Okay, here we go. Chris H, who is at a place called Salamander, says, don't really know what to think. Aroma of sulfur, sour flavors from the raspberries, decent, but that's it.
I don't get that sulfur comment.
I think I know what sulfur smells like. I don't think this...
Well, I've been to Rotorua. I know what sulfur smells like.
Yeah.
It's not that beer.
I love that you have first-hand sulfur experience.
Yeah, oh yes.
That's why we recruited you.
Yeah, the experience knows.
Yeah, but look, I have no idea what sulfur should taste like, so I'm in the dark here.
Alexander E. at Salamander also was...
Where is Salamander, by the way?
Tasmania?
Tasmania, yeah.
Oh.
Okay. So I'm in the markets, that's the only reason I know it.
That's, yeah, that was my assumption.
Ooh.
So this guy says, nah, comma, well, comma, how, comma, I'm reading it directly, comma, what, comma, no, comma, why, comma, not, it's meh.
So that was Ben's check-in then.
Yeah.
I'm insightful.
Yeah, that's Ben's alter ego. Busted.
Steve B at All Stars is, so it's like raspberry sherbet.
Yeah. That's fair. I like that. I mean, it is definitely the reddest beer I've probably ever seen. Because, you know, red ale isn't actually like pure red. It's more like...
It's worth talking about the colour, isn't it? It's a very strong...
Yeah.
Almost like a rosé, like a very dark rosé.
It's more like a red wine that they copped up.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's a lot of people posting on here in languages that I can't physically read.
Though that's clear, though clearly that, I mean, obviously all of these tiny breweries, or at least tiny to us, they're big somewhere.
That's right.
Maybe this is a big brewery. And...
But they're in, I'm saying this is multiple, so there was one person who was clearly posting in Cyrillic, there was someone who's posting in French, there's someone else who's posted in one of the Scandi languages, it's clearly getting around.
But all it needs is an interesting woolen jumper, and it would be proper Scando television.
Or Google Translate to somehow interact with this, so I could actually read this, because I can't. I literally cannot read any of these comments.
If you're listening on tap,
this is just the indictment on the Australian education system, where we can't speak any language.
Yeah, you mean English. The lack of education.
That's right. That's right. You know, English, the best language ever.
That's EVA, because we don't believe in using it properly.
That is how you spell that word, isn't it?
Jeff, I will glass you. But, alrighty. So, this is an odd one, mostly because it seems like it's got a lot of popularity in a lot of places, but it's like your ultimate niche beer here.
It is.
For everything we're saying, though, we've all put a pretty good dent in our glasses.
Yeah.
It's going down well.
But, so... What do we give this out of 5?
I've already checked mine in, and I've given it a 3.5. Paul Christoph score.
Yeah, you're on the Christoph scale.
Yeah. I like it. I think it's a beer that potentially you'd have with food as well. Like, it'll accompany like a nice dessert of some sort. And I think...
It is a dessert wine of beer.
Yeah.
So then it would make a different rating if you're having it with food. But I wouldn't... tend to drink this on a spike, you know, just by itself. Yeah. And again, not really my style, but yeah, still a tasty beverage.
I have trouble rating it, really. It's an odd one. It's hard to really put a number on. I think 3.75 on the Christoph scale sounds fair.
Yeah, you mean on the new and improved Christoph scale.
2.5.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it, but yeah, I would struggle to give it anything above about a 3.5, 3.75. So I reckon 3.5 is where I sit on this one as well.
I'm actually gonna be the black sheep here. I'm actually gonna say that it's okay, but I wouldn't want to buy it. I'm actually gonna give this a 3.
Okay, so what was the rule we agreed on this? Is it majority rules?
Majority rules.
Okay, so that means it's 3.5 then. So your vote actually made no difference.
Look, it's my personal expression.
Yeah, no, and it's important that we get people around to this way of thinking, rather than thinking my vote doesn't count, therefore I'm just trying to donkey vote or whatever. So, you know, so this is the right attitude. We are promoting correct voting attitudes in Australia. Go, Chris.
One beer at a time.
Win.
One beer at a time.
Alrighty, checking in. Let's move on. And we're back, and we're on to beer number two. And this one is... Guys, what is this?
So it's called the Rye King. It's by Amaga. Amaga Brew House, which is...
It's a collaboration with Goose Island.
Oh, is it? Cool.
Yeah. I caught the Goose Chicken.
Ah, you see? Gareth Tampa Ford. Brock Chicken.
Enjoy. Thanks so much.
Thanks, man. Okay, that's good.
Right. Righty, so it's the Rye King.
It's an American stout, so it's that.
An American stout made in.
In Denmark.
Right.
Obviously.
I guess we make American pale ales, so that makes sense.
Well, Goose Island is a USA brewery as well.
Goose Island is an American brewery, that is correct.
Okay. Correct. Sorry, give me context here. What is the link?
So it's a collaboration between Goose Island and Amaga, as Gareth just said before. Keep up.
Yeah, but the earlier one I said it's a collaboration with Goose Island.
Look, I just
that was the clue. That was
I just tuned out, you know. So I haven't sipped this. What is it?
Well, a smoked stout is the description I've got down here.
That's quite nice.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there, isn't there?
There is a lot going on. It's complex.
Yeah. Ah.
There's coffee. There's chocolate. Mm. It's a long finish. It's quite delicious.
Yeah, it's...
I really like that.
I mean, it's... Mm. I don't think it's quite up there with the Milk Imperial Stout that we had the other week.
No, probably not. But it's...
But
it's
quite superb, really.
But yes. I had I had an oatmeal stout earlier today when I was at the Gertrude Hotel. Mm. And like a lot of stouts, actually, you just find it's just... It almost comes over a bit watery. Like, it doesn't have that punch to it. And I think part of it is... just a bunch of drinking a lot of American-style stouts, where they're, you know, Americans are always just like, in your face, you know, so their beers are like that too, so they...
More of everything.
More of everything, and so that's why you get beers that taste
like... I mean, I was just thinking, you know, the more of everything, you could be describing McKellar with those beers as well.
Yeah, probably. But, this is very nice.
Mm.
7.7%, so on the punchier side of not punchy.
It's quite interesting, although having had a few sips of it, the aftertaste is very strange. I don't know what to pick that.
It's like you were saying, so it's got a really long finish to it.
Yeah.
It's,
and it's kind of evolves on your tongue as it disappears.
But it goes from being a fish into a, you know, a fish,
like,
and it grows legs.
And starts like an amoeba.
Yeah. Totally makes sense, unless you're creationist in which
case. But I reckon
you
don't get that smoke flavour until the aftertaste up front. Yeah. You don't really get the smoke.
It's not very strong either, which I'm kind of enjoying. So I'm not a particularly big fan of smoked beers, but yeah, it's very subtle.
It's not the Doppelbock sort of era.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not that peaty smoke either. It's quite much more subtle.
Yeah.
So what is everyone else saying about this?
So our friend John G at the Park Hotel was saying really good, subtle smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Fair cool.
So Hector S at the La Atlantica beer shop says it's motor
oil.
We all know it well. Says it's motor oil.
I mean, in terms of texture, not that I've ever drank motor oil.
That's what you imagine it would taste like.
Exactly. Yeah.
If motor oil tastes like that, I'm going to be drinking more cars.
Alright, that might be the best line of the night.
Aaron C. from Lapulo Craft Beer House. This is excellent, dark and full rye. Would order over and over again.
So Saba at the Tap House. I don't think that's the local tap house. I think it's another tap house somewhere.
Can there be more than one tap house, Jeff?
Well, it doesn't say the tap house. It just says
tap house.
Dark brown with brownish head, chocolate and strong coffee flavour. Good one.
Mm.
I would agree with all that too.
Anderson M. from the Lapulo Craft Beer House says, delicious, strong and full-bodied. Plus you can definitely taste the rye.
Maybe that's what's that different flavour that we're all not picking because we don't know what we're talking about. That would be the rye.
That would be the rye.
I think that's the rye.
Well, and the rye thing is really interesting because I have no idea what I should be tasting for with rye. I know what I've heard of rye.
Of the rye beers I've had in the past, it's usually had that really, the malty, biscuity, caramelly flavour. That's what I expect from the rye.
Okay. Well, clearly you know more than all of us right now. All right, so what do we give this?
It's a very good question. What do we give it?
I go high. On the Christoph scale, I think 4.5.
Ooh.
I really like it.
Jeez.
I'll give it a 4 on tap. This is like a 4.5 for me, but it's definitely a really good stout.
Yeah, I'd give it a 4 as well. That's where I'm at.
Well, I mean, I think I would give this actually a 3.5.
Really? Not a fan. Well, not a fan is harsh, but like not a big fan.
No, it's just I think that kick right at the end. But you know, I don't feel like I'm walking away feeling happy. I feel like I'm walking away a little bit like I've been punched in the face.
Just take another sip before that kick comes on.
Yeah, but sooner or later there will be no more sips left.
No, just keep going.
All right, so I want to finish off with two last things. Firstly, this is the Danish invasion, obviously, which means there's a load of Evil Twin and a load of Mikella. I'm going to state my preference right now. I've made fun of Mikella this entire podcast. I think Evil Twin is nicer only because it feels like Evil Twin knows when to take the foot off the accelerator. But what do you guys think? We'd love you guys to be guests.
That's right, yeah, totally. Yeah. Get in touch with us. We'd love to talk to both of you at the same time. No glass involved, though.
No.
That will literally never happen.
No. Go on.
I'm with you. I would also say I'm more on the Evil Twin side, but not because of the foot off the accelerator thing. I do find that Evil Twin, I think, have less product proliferation. I think Mikella make a lot of beers. They make a lot of good beers, but they also make a lot of beers, and a lot of the beers they make are not as good as their...
Okay.
I think it'd be better if they just focused and just made just awesome beers all the time, which they're clearly capable of. So
I'm definitely with you there. I reckon, Mikella definitely try to, try a lot of different ingredients, try a lot of different styles that a lot of other breweries wouldn't go with. So I like that they, they sort of, trying different things all the time, and some aren't great, but some other ones, they sound terrible, they actually taste fantastic. So I think
we did have the Bloody Mary last week.
Yeah, exactly. They're a bit more adventurous than Evil Twin, so that's a bit my opinion.
I come down on the Mikella side.
Yeah.
And for no strong, thought out logical reason.
Other than just to disagree with us.
Yeah. But when I look at the menu, a list of beers, I get more excited when I see Mikella than I do Evil Twin. It just brings something out of me that maybe it's because I knew about them first, but it strikes a nerve when I see that Mikella word.
And I think definitely also as well, one thing I love about craft beer is a lot of companies craft beer companies put the effort into having creative labels. And I think Mikella is another one that is sort of leading, with
that is very, very true.
Every beer is a work of art.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, we got to finish it up there. The second thing I wanted to mention is obviously if you've been following us on Instagram, you'll see that we check in a lot of beers because we drink a lot of beers. But obviously you can follow us on pretty much any medium, including Google+. Just wanted to point that one out.
The what?
good answer. But we're going to leave you there for this week. We will be back next week and we'll have a full wrap-up of Good Beer Week. Been Chris Shorten. With me has been Jeff Chee.
Good night.
And our guest host, Gareth Humphreys.
Good world.
And Ben Wilson.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.